Track 2, The Foreshadowing, Creation and Birth of Mary.
This first track is a selection of the visions and dictations received by Maria Valtorta, describing the conception and birth of the Virgin Mary. We begin with a dictation from Jesus, who speaks to Maria Valtorta about the new woman, created in humble circumstances with an immaculate soul. He says, God revealed himself to mankind in a new and complete form which started the redemption era. He did not select for his throne a star in the sky, nor the palace of a powerful man. Neither did he want the wings of angels as the base of his feet. He wanted a spotless womb. Eve had also been created spotless, but she wanted to become corrupt of her own free will. Mary, who lived in a corrupt world, Eve was in a pure world, did not wish to violate her purity, not even with one thought remotely connected with sin. She knew that sin exists. She saw its various and horrible forms and implications. She saw them all, including the most hideous one, deicide. But she knew them solely to expiate them and to be forever the woman who has mercy on sinners and prays for their redemption. Jesus then speaks of Mary's parents, Anne and Joachim, who hoped and prayed for a child in their old age. He says, Eternal wisdom, when the time came, enlightened them with dreams at night, visions of the poem of glory that was to come from them, and was Most Holy Mary, my mother. If their humility made them hesitant, their hearts trembled in hope at the first hint of God's promise. There was already certainty in Joachim's words. He said, Do hope. We shall gain our favour from God by our faithful love. They were dreaming of a child. They got the Mother of God. But to obtain all this, they had to become masters of a true and lasting virtue which no event marred. Virtue of faith, virtue of charity, virtue of hope, virtue of chastity. The chastity of a married couple, they possessed it, because it is not necessary to be virgins to be chaste. Chaste nuptial beds are guarded by angels, and from them descend good children who make the virtue of their parents the rule of their lives. Maria then describes a vision she sees of Anne, who has some news for Joachim. She says, It was already evening, and while I was praying in the temple, as close as possible for a woman to be to the house of God, I was saying, A little longer, a little more. I could not withdraw from the place without receiving the grace. Well, Joachim, in the growing darkness, from inside the sacred place, where I was watching from the depth of my soul to obtain assent from the ever-present God, I saw a light, a spark of beautiful light depart. It was as white as the moon, and yet it had in itself all the brightness of all the pearls and gems that are in the world. It seemed that one of the precious stars of the temple veil, the stars placed under the feet of the cherubim, had become detached and bright with a supernatural light. it seemed that beyond the sacred veil, from the glory itself, a fire started, which came quickly towards me. And while cutting through the air, it sang with a heavenly voice, chanting, "May what you asked for come to you." "That is why I sing, Joachim. I sing, a star will come. Star. Our star. Because, I don't know why, but I think it is a girl. I think that such sweet caresses can only come from a most sweet daughter, daughter of God. Because this creature, born of a barren stump, is more of God than ours. She gives no pain to her mother. She only brings her peace and blessings, the fruits of God, her true father." "Then we shall call her Mary," Joachim replies. "Star of our sea, pearl, happiness, the name of the first great woman in Israel. But she will never sin against the Lord, and to him only she will give her songs, because she is offered to him, a victim before being born." And Anne says, "Yes, she is offered to him, male or female, as it may be. After rejoicing for 3 years over our creature, we shall give it to the Lord, victims ourselves with her for the glory of God." After this vision, Jesus says to Maria Valtorta, "In April, the land of Palestine looked like a huge garden, and the fragrance and colours were a delight to all. But the most beautiful rose was still unknown. She was already flowering to God in the secrecy of her mother's womb, because my mother loved since she was conceived. But when the vine gives its blood to make wine, and the sweet strong smells fill the yard and the nostrils, she would smile to God first, and then to the world she would say, with her most innocent smile, 'Here, the vine that will give you the bunch of grapes to be squeezed in the winepress, so that it will become eternal medicine for your disease, this vine is amongst you.' That's what she would say. I said, Mary loved since she was conceived. What is it that gives light and knowledge to the soul? Grace. What is it that removes grace? Original sin and the mortal one. Mary the Immaculate was never deprived of the remembrance of God, of his closeness, his love, his light, his wisdom. She was therefore able to understand and love when she was but flesh forming around an immaculate soul that continued to love. It is now almost time for Mary to be born, and Maria Valtorta writes, "I see Anne coming out of the garden, leaning on the arm of a relative. She is obviously several months pregnant. She looks tired, and her fatigue is not alleviated by the sultriness of the weather. Joachim sees her, and he hastens towards her and asks, 'Are you in pain?' 'No,' she says, 'but I can feel the great peace that I experienced in the temple when I was granted the grace, and which I felt once again when I knew I was pregnant. I have a song in my heart, Joachim, old Tobias' song. I think it was written for this hour, for this joy, for the land of Israel that receives it, and for Jerusalem, sinner and now forgiven. But do not laugh at the frenzy of a mother. When I say, thank the Lord for your wealth and bless the God of centuries that he may rebuild his tabernacle, I think that the destiny of my creature, and not the fate of the holy city, was prophesied in the song that says, 'You shall shine with a bright light. All the peoples of the world will prostrate themselves before you. The nations will come bringing gifts. They will worship the Lord in you and will hold your land as sacred, because within you they invoke the great name. You will be happy on account of your children, because they will be blessed, and they will gather near the Lord. Blessed are those who love you and rejoice in your peace. That's what the song says. And I, her happy mother, am the first to rejoice. They hurry as clouds, driven by a strong wind, rush across and gather in the sky, while the land darkens and shudders at the warning of a storm. When they reach the threshold of the dwelling, a first livid flash of lightning crosses the sky, and the rumble of the first peal of thunder sounds. It is growing dark, and the evening is preceded by a furious and very violent storm. It brings torrential rain, wind, lightning, and everything except hail, which has fallen somewhere else. One of the workers notices the gale's ferocity. It looks as if Satan has come out of Gehenna with his demons. Look at those black clouds. You can smell sulphur in the air, and you can hear whistling and hisses and wailing and cursing voices. Oh, if it is he is furious this evening. The other worker laughs and scoffs. A great prey must have escaped him. Or Michael has struck him with a new thunderbolt from God, and he has had his horns and tail clipped and burnt. A woman passes by and shouts, Joachim, it is coming, and it is happening quickly and well. And she disappears with a small amphora in her hands. The storm drops suddenly after one last thunderbolt that is so violent that it throws the three men against the side wall. And in front of the house in the garden, a black smoky cavity remains as its memory. Meanwhile, a cry, resembling the tiny plea of a little turtle dove, is heard from beyond Anne's door. And at the same time, a huge rainbow stretches its semicircle across the sky. One of the workers says, It seems to enclose in a circle the whole of the land of Israel. And look, there was already a star in the sky while the sun has not yet set. What a star! It is shining like a huge diamond. And another worker says, And the moon over there, look, it's a full moon, 3 days early. But look how it is shining. The women arrive, jubilant with a plump little baby wrapped in plain linens. It is Mary the mother, a very tiny Mary who could sleep in the arms of a child, as long at most as an arm, with a little head of ivory dyed pale pink. Her ears are two small shells, transparent, perfect, and her tiny hands. How will those two tiny hands be able to dry so many tears? And how will those little feet be able to go such a long way and bear so much pain under the cross? Her breathing can be seen, and the beating of her little heart can be heard if, as her happy father is doing now, one lays one's lips there for a kiss. This is the most beautiful little heart the world will ever know, the immaculate heart of a human being. The women are speaking of the storm, the unusual state of the moon, and of the presence of the star and the rainbow. Along with Joachim, they enter the happy mother's room and give her the baby. Anne smiles at one of her thoughts. She is the star, she says. Her sign is in heaven. Mary, Arch of Peace. Mary, my star. Mary, pure moon. Mary, our pearl. Are you calling her Mary? Anne is asked. Yes, says Anne. Mary, star and pearl and light and peace. But it also means bitterness, one of the women says. Are you not afraid of bringing her misfortune? And Anne replies, God is with her. She belongs to him before she existed. He will lead her along his ways, and all bitterness will turn into heavenly honey. Be of your mummy for a little longer before being all of God. And the vision ends on the first sleep of Anne, a mother, and Mary, an infant. After the vision, Jesus says to Maria Valtorta, before man existed, the supreme mind that knows everything knew that man would be a thief and self-murderer. And as the eternal goodness has no limits in being good, he thought of the means to obliterate guilt before guilt existed. The means, I the Word. The instrument to render the means an efficient instrument, Mary. And the Virgin was created in the sublime mind of God. But I was to be flesh as well as spirit, flesh to save the flesh. In order to become flesh, I needed a mother, and to be God, it was necessary that the Father was God. Then God created his spouse and said to her, come with me. At my side, see what I am doing for our son. Look and rejoice, eternal virgin, eternal maiden, and may your smile fill the heavens. May you give the angels their starting note, and may you teach paradise celestial harmony. May the universe, which is created hour by hour, learn from you to love me, my love. And may it become more beautiful owing to your smile, mother of my son, queen of my paradise, love of your God. And again, seeing the fault and admiring the faultless one, God said, come to me, you who wipe out the bitterness of human disobedience, of human fornication with Satan, and of human ingratitude. With you I will take my revenge over Satan. Hiss your hatred, O Satan, while she comes into the world. This child has beaten you. Before you were the rebel, the twister, the corrupter. You were already beaten, and she was your conqueror. 1,000 assembled armies are of no avail against your power. The arms of men fall before your scales, O perennial one. There is no wind capable of dispersing the stench of your breath. And yet, the heel of this child, which is so rosy as to look like the inside of a rosy camellia, is so smooth and soft that silk seems coarse in comparison, and is so small that it could enter the chalice of a tulip and make itself a tiny shoe with that vegetable satin. That heel is crushing your head without any fear, and it relegates you to your den. Her cry causes you to flee away, even though you are not afraid of armies. And her breath purifies the world of your foul smell. You are defeated. Her name, her look, her purity are a lance and a thunderbolt that pierce, demolish, and imprison you in your den of hell, O cursed one. Now you are beaten, in a woman and by a woman. And from now on, whoever loves her will become God's own once again. That is the revenge of the God, three and one, against creatures desecrated. He raises this star to perfection against destructive curiosity. He raises this coy virgin, contented only with loving God. And in a later dictation, Jesus says, Mary was not only the pure, the new Eve, created for the joy of God. She was the super Eve, the masterpiece of the Most High, the full of grace, and the mother of the Word in the mind of God. She should no longer speak as a little girl and then as a woman, but only and always as a celestial creature, melted in the great light and wisdom of God. The miracle is not in the superior intelligence shown by Mary in her childhood, as afterwards it was by me. The miracle is in containing the infinite intelligence that dwelt there within suitable bounds, so that crowds should not be startled and satanic attention should not be awakened.